Good morning, Oregon, and thank you once again for loading me down and queuing me up. I'm Finn J.D. John, bringing you another daily episode of the Offbeat Oregon History Audio Edition Podcast, which every weekday brings you another story from the archives of the Offbeat Oregon History syndicated newspaper column. You'll find the full details at offbeatoregon.com. Do check it out, but first, sit back and relax and let me tell you the story of an old-time sailor man, Jimmy Bates, who in 1828 planted the first potatoes in Oregon. This is a story off of the WPA's Works Progress Administration archive. What they did oral histories to keep oral historians employed, you know, during the Great Depression. And it's a real treasure trove now, looking back on it. At the time, a lot of people were very critical about it, and a lot of people thought it was wonderful. The critics thought it was a waste of money. Have to say, in the light of history, I would have to respectfully disagree with that assessment. This story was first published in the newspapers on March 6th, 2010, under the headline, Lure of the Sea Brought Jimmy Bates and Potatoes to Oregon. Here we go. If you've lived in Oregon for a while, chances are you know at least one person who's traveled all over the world before deciding that our state in general, and your town in particular, was the best place in the globe to settle down. It's not exactly a common experience, but it happens often enough to be noticeable. But of course, it's not new. In fact, what might be the very first such story dates back to the days of Dr. John McLaughlin, long before Oregon was even an official U.S. territory. It's the story of Jimmy Bates, who was born in either 1809 or 1810, I haven't been able to learn which, to a wealthy family in Washington, D.C., as recounted by Winfield Taylor Rigdon in 1892. Rigdon, one of the Salem area's pioneer luminaries, referred to Bates as Uncle Jimmy, although it's not clear if the two were blood relations. According to Rigdon, Jimmy was doing the family proud at a prestigious academy when suddenly, at age 15, he got hold of a book titled Riley's African Shipwrecks, probably an account of the wreck of the American brig Commerce, captained by one Captain James Riley, on the west coast of Africa in 1815. And just like that, young Jimmy's academic career was over. Suddenly, all he could think about, nothing but sailing ships, the sea, distant lands. His performance in school suffered instantly and fatally. A few years later, he was on a small coastal trader plying the eastern seaboard. Not what he had in mind, but the first step. It turned out to be the first step in a maritime career that took him virtually everywhere, in an age when ships sailed rather than steaming. But from the beginning, he wanted to come to Oregon, and at age 19, he was able to sign on to a trading expedition bound for Gray's Harbor in what's now Washington. This was 1828. Now, remember, this was long before the Panama Canal. To get from Washington, D.C. to Oregon by sea, one headed south and kept going for a long time. On the way back up, various South Sea islands were hardly even out of the way and tended to be friendlier and richer in anti-scorbutic fruit, such as limes and lemons and stuff like that, than the Spanish-held coast of Chile. So by the time Jimmy got to Oregon the next year, he'd seen quite a lot of the world around the Pacific Ocean. At Oregon, Bates's ship, which Rigdon remembers as the SS Rudder, although I have not been able to confirm this nor find any evidence of a ship of that name, sailed up the Columbia and had its mainmast replaced. While this was happening, Jimmy planted and grew some potatoes, probably the first potatoes ever grown in the Oregon Territory. The potato crop was more or less a bust, but the Willamette Valley left an impression on Jimmy long after the ship left. He wouldn't have an opportunity to come back for almost 30 years, but when he did, in 1857, he jumped at it. And this time, he came to stay. 2 years later, of course, Oregon was a state, and we were sort of on our way. Well, that's it for today's episode. And if you're listening for the first time and want more information about Offbeat Oregon history, you can get everything at our central website, which is offbeatoregon.com, including the complete catalog of about 190 columns going back to 2008, plus links out to audio and text feeds on RSS and iTunes, and to the Facebook page and Twitter feed, in case you'd like to join the conversation. The website's also where you'll find full citations to sources for this story, which, for today's episode, include works by W.T. Rigdon and James Riley, and also salemhistory.net. Our theme music is a track titled Old Man's Waltz by the Atlas String Band, atlasstringband.com, written by Carmen Ficarra. come into Corvallis, drop me a line, and let's grab a cup of coffee and talk history. I'm at fin@offbeatoregon.com, or if you do Twitter, @offbeatoregon. I'm proud to offer this podcast under a Creative Commons 3.0 license. For details, see offbeatoregon.com/cc. That's it for today. Tomorrow's a Thursday special. I have no idea what I'm going to do yet. I may debut a sort of a light version of this history news service that I have been thinking about launching for some time. I may do a book review. I'm not quite sure. I guess we'll find out tomorrow, won't we? After about 6 a.m. In the meantime, go out and fill up the rest of today with good stuff, will you? Bye now.